Well, good morning to you all and welcome to our service this morning. If you're visiting with us, a particularly warm welcome, and whether you're visiting or a regular member of the congregation, you're very welcome to come through and have a cup of tea or coffee and a blether with us after the service. Quite a number of notices this week, one or two things that are not on the bulletin. So just going through the week, in addition to the items on the on the bulletin, session meeting in St Margaret's Hall on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, and the session paper should be coming out by email later on today if my computer behaves. There's something which is just for your information, and I think it's important that we know this, that on Friday evening the Accelerate group, that's the Scripture Union group that Tim, our children's worker, runs in Lambride Primary School, they're having their party, end of term party, here in the church hall, and they'll also be coming in to have a look at the church. And so just remember that in your prayers. I guess for some of these kids it might be the first time in their life they've been in a church. So it's good that Tim is making these connections with the young folks. And then also on Saturday, there is his morning of games and crafts at St Margaret's Hall next Saturday morning, and still needs helpers for that. So if you're able to help, Tim's here this morning, so you can speak to him, or if you miss him, his phone number and his email address are there as well. So anybody who can help, that will be very welcome. Next Sunday is a slightly different service. It's our Super Sunday outdoor moving on service followed by barbecue, okay? So if you're wondering what all that's about, there's the item about it there. Weather permitting, we hope to have the outdoor service. It is Super Sunday with a slight difference, because we're calling it Sunday because instead of soup we're having ice cream and tasty things. But it's also the moving on program, a moving on service for those of our young people who are at significant stages moving on in education or out of education in some cases. And also the purpose of the Super Sunday idea is we give to the Church of Scotland HIV program. And then we're having a family barbecue afterwards, and I'm assured by the caterers that all dietary options will be catered for. So if don't be put off if you're a vegetarian and you don't want a burger, there'll be veggie burgers there and any other kind of burgers that will suit your requirements. So all of that next Sunday morning, and we're just hoping the sun shines. And if it does, all will be well. But we do have a plan B, unlike Marks and Spencer's. I think that's just about everything. One other thing is that the gift aid envelopes for those who give the gift aid are ready, and you can get them on the table at the back if you didn't get them or pick them up as you came in. I hope that's everything I need to tell you. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. It's God is wisdom, God is love. It's Trinity Sunday this morning, and therefore in the sermon and the worship, we will focus on the Trinity, Father God and Holy Spirit. And as part of the intro, I'm reading the first seven verses of Psalm 8. And then we will continue with the Trinity greeting and then a prayer of approach. Psalm 8 from verse 1. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels, and you crowned them with glory and honor. Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Sovereign God, you call us to worship you as the Father, as the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are not a God that is distant, but here with us, who walked the journey with us from the beginning of creation. You are the one who was, and who is to come. The one who uttered, and the word, and the breath. The loving mother, the loved child, and the living love. The burning flame, the light and the nurturing warmth in our lives. We seek to name you our triune God, and yet all our attempts fall short. They fall short of the mystery of your nature and of the complexity of your relationship with us. But yet you are open to our childish attempts to understand and to name, and you will not ignore us. Hear us when we pray together this morning as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord. It's from CH4, 110, glory be to God the Father.
Thank you.
Before I do the prayer of confession this morning, whilst praying, I'd ask you, obviously it happens naturally, that we might think of the things that happened the week, things that was maybe disturbing to you, maybe it's some sin, something sinful, maybe something you saw that, yes, that wasn't good. And maybe you did something. And when I do the prayer, obviously, it's a prayer in general, but unto the Lord, you are more than welcome, because that's part of the dialogue between us and the Lord, to engage with the prayer. But when you want to ponder off and have your own words while I'm doing the prayer, that's also okay to speak to the Lord the things that maybe upset at you the week. Let us pray. Lord, the angels cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, for you are holy, O Lord." And although we try, we are not. We try to follow the path of your righteousness to which you have called us. Jesus, which you've shown us, which your Spirit guides us along and in every day. And yet, in our humanity, we too often fall short. We come before you, carrying our sins, our discomfort, the things that too often we feel that separate us from you. And we come with that, and we come and put it at your feet. And we ask that you will help us leaving this baggage at the foot of your throne. We know that your Spirit works within us and around us. And you tell us very clearly that you stand at the door and you knock. And therefore I ask you to help us to re-invite you into the places where we struggle. And that you will guide us with wisdom, but with whispering and sometimes very clearly to what to do, how to act or not to act, how to live our lives, because it's your kingdom, not ours. It's our lives being given by you, and therefore you own it. We ask that you may reign within our hearts and thoughts, but help us to set things right in the manner you would have done, where it's uncomfortable in other places outside our lives maybe, concerning family or friends or situations. And that you will teach us how to go forward. We pray this in your name, as Father and as Son and as Holy Spirit, the creator of new things. Amen. We all know, or I assume we all know, the words of Psalm 103, and I want to share it once again this morning. When we go to the Lord and when we confess and we ask forgiveness, the Lord forgives us and he will guide us. And then the words of Psalm 103 from verse 8 to 13. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so does the Lord. He has compassion on those who fear him. I'll pray for us, and then I'll ask you, let's do our confession of faith in the Apostles' Creed. Lord, thank you for hearing us in our prayers just now. Thank you that you forgive us our sins, and we pray, forgive us our sins. Forgive us. And set us right. But may we learn from our mistakes. And may we forgive others. We pray that as you taught us, but we pray that once again. Help us through your Spirit. We pray this in your name as our Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me in standing, and then we do our confession of faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the living life for everlasting. Amen. Let us sing CH 180. Give thanks with a grateful heart. I'm going to ask Valerie to do the reading this morning, and then after that we will sing hymn 722, Spirit of God. Thank you, Valerie. Yes.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 1, and this is reading from verses 1 to 3, and it's at the beginning on page 3. The beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now the second reading is from John chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 5, 10 to 13, and 14 to 18. And you'll find this on page 1063. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." And the third reading is from Exodus chapter 20, reading from verses 1 to 7. And you'll find this on page 77. The Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words: "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." And amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, that we have your word. Thank you for blessing us with it. And may we live from it. And therefore we pray that when we listen to your message this morning, although it comes through human words, broken, you be the one that edit the message onto our hearts, that others and ourselves may read it through the work of your Spirit. Amen. All right, what do we say about the Trinity? There's so much to say about the Trinity. The last 2 weeks, I read up on different works, that of Richard Rohr and one of the professors at Stellenbosch University in South Africa, Johan Selier, which I have great respect for. And I was reading on their perspectives on the Holy Trinity, and I asked myself, all right, and what would I say? But I do connect with their thoughts, and I think in a way it's also thoughts that I feel comfortable with. And let's say it's not only thoughts, I do think it's theological, because there's a difference between thoughts and theology. This morning and last Sunday, we've heard that the Holy Spirit was present from the beginning. Last week on Pentecost Sunday, that the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth in the beginning. And today again, Valerie read two verses on not only the Holy Spirit hovering over the earth, but then the creation that happened of where we are and what we have. And therefore, I will say, from that I will gain that the Holy Spirit is definitely an creator God as well. And I'll come back to that. So it's not only Father God present in the beginning, but also creator God. And I know most of us know this. It's just to dust off our thoughts and to get things back on track again. And then if we had to explain this to youngsters, and maybe to ourselves, some may ask, but where's Jesus in the picture if it's then only God the Father and God the Holy Spirit present that we read of in Genesis 1? But therefore, Valerie also read, and we read it with her, John chapter 1, which tells us that in the beginning, the Word was there, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in the rest of John chapter 1, we gain that the Word is Jesus Christ himself. So that helps me to explain the matter of fact that God never made a mistake through history, creating the earth and then creating something new, and then all of a sudden things didn't work out, and then he created his son and sent him to earth, and that didn't work quite well. I'll create the Holy Spirit and I send it down. No, it helps me to say, no, everything of the triune God, do I say it correctly? Triune God was present from the beginning. Now, theologians throughout history and in the early church tried to describe the Trinity. And I know there are various different explanations or metaphors for it. The one I do like, and I hope I pronounce it correctly. I think Alistair could help me with the Greek, actually. In Afrikaans, we would say perichoresis, and in English, we'd say perichoresis. I think that's the word, but I'll explain the word. All right. So what is the word about this perichoresis? It's a Greek word which the early church tried to explain the Trinity with, and they said, let's forget the past. Some of us have seen a Greek wedding, if it was only on a movie on the television. Not, have you seen it? Or some of the dances the Greek people do. They will, sorry, Alistair, they will hook up and they will start forming a formation. And that is actually perichoresis. That is the name of the sort of dance. It's not two people only dancing like we know it in Latin and ballroom dancing, and it's more like a ceilidh. No. So you need at least three persons. Yes. What do you say, Alistair? Like a dashing white sergeant, yes. Yes, exactly. So when you go to Greek weddings and you see the formation, they would hook up onto each other, and then they would slowly, they would slowly start out, all right, the dance. And then the important thing that what I see in those dances, and that was the explanation or just a metaphor, to see the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost working together, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together, is that they form a unit. And it does sound strange. I need to tell you, in our culture in South Africa, when you speak about dancing, especially 20 years ago, it was frowned upon. Dancing is a big sin. And then we would call it folk dance, and then everything is okay. regardless of that, let me come back. All right. So when they start dancing at a Greek wedding, it turns out to start slowly, and then they will go on a quite rhythmical way and go faster and faster and faster. And especially if it's a bigger group of people, you sometimes wonder, when are they going to fall, or what's going to happen next? And they form this circle so much so that at a stage you can't see who is stepping where, but it's a unit. And it's only a metaphor. But the early church said, all right, if we think about the Trinity, it could be something like this. It could be that the one steps onto the space of the other person in the Trinity. And if I think in my own thoughts, and as I said, it's quite thought of a child, I would ask myself, yes, all right, is that true? Is there some truth in the metaphor? Yes, we've heard that the Trinity was present from the beginning. Is the Father the creator? Yes, we see God the Father as the creator. All right. Would we say that Jesus is a creator? Take away Genesis 1 and John chapter 1. Would we say Jesus is a creator? Yes, I would say he's a creator in this sense. He can create new life from my chaos and my sin, because he takes away the bad part. So he does create. He creates a new life for us. So are they stepping over each other on the creation? Yes. On the concept of being a creator God, Father and Son? Yes. Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit lead us into different ways? Sorry for my back, Evelyn. Yes. The Holy Spirit does create new spaces. This morning, I don't know who to whom I mentioned, it was at the table at Connect, Romans 8. I love Romans 8. If we go to Romans chapter 8, it tells us that creation is sighing, longing for a new time, a new space, longing for something new. Romans 8 also tells us that humans are longing for something new. We are sighing, we are struggling, and then it tells us about the Holy Spirit that will create the new space, not only in our lives, but also leading us to new spaces. So yes, Holy Spirit being creator as well, yes, I would say that. And so we can have different aspects and see that the Holy Trinity does step across each other's ways in this dance. All right, let me just get back to the lectern. If we think of the concept of dancing, we as human beings relate to one another. And I'd say that we also dance, and it's just a metaphor, on this planet. The relationship between the three persons of the Trinity dynamic, interactive, loving, serving form the model also for our human dance steps. Unfortunately, through our own steps sometimes, we get corrupted. We have our own, helping with the word, choreography, thank you. Choreography, yes. We have our own steps. But then the Spirit tells us, no, get into this step again. Those of you who did some ballroom or Latin dancing, just like this, indicate something. All right, great. All right. Now again, how does dancing work? If we dance and we say that we dance with the Trinity, hearing the Spirit, trusting the Lord to guide us, I will say yes, it's not only the concept of a Greek dance. If we have to dance with a partner in life, and I'm not very good at dancing, but I do like dancing. You need to what? Your partner. Trust your partner. You need to trust your partner. If I go to a dance and it's my first time, those of you that went to a dance the first time, and even a Kaylee, and you don't know the steps. Some comedian said it's more like a fight in the end. Because you struggle and you fall and you need to learn the process. So I need to trust my partner. And for us as humans, to trust the Lord does take time. It is a process. I need, in dancing, whether it be ballroom dancing, I need to trust the other person. When I put my foot out, they will take their foot away. All right? And if we turn, yes, they will follow in my step. So it's a trusting process. And I need to listen to the rhythm. I need to know where to follow. And I see the work of God as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this aspect. I need to trust. I need to learn the steps. I need to learn the process. And I need to hear the rhythm of life. Now the next question which I would ask is, where is the dancing floor? And it's easy to tell people, oh, dancing floor is there where the Lord sends you. And that is true. It's definitely true. And therefore, I had Valerie read Exodus 20, verse 1 to 7 as well. Very strange text for Trinity Sunday, but I think it's a very relevant text. And I'll tell you why. Because it tells us where the dance floor is. As Christians, if you're not with me, just do this or this or something. Or have a nap. As Christians, we can easily tick off some of the Ten Commandments, especially the commandment which tells us, do not use the name of the Lord in vain. We can easily say, well, we do not blasphemize. Is that the verb? Blaspheme. Yes. Because we don't do it. It's okay for Christians. We can carry on. We're fine with that part of the Ten Commandments. But I'll come back and ask myself, is that really true? Is that really the meaning of the Ten Commandments? Because if the commandment says, you are not to use the name of the Lord in vain, I will go back to the same book of Exodus and ask myself, but what is the name of God? And in the same book of Exodus, I find it when the Lord reveals himself to Moses. And we all know what happened there at the burning bush, and then Moses asking the Lord, so who would I tell the Israelites and later on the Pharaoh, who are you who sent me? And then the Lord answers, and we all know it by heart. He tells Moses, you tell them, I am. I am sent you. I am sent you. I am sent you. And we know the explanation, the rest of it. But I'll ask myself, all right, so that is the name of the Lord. And the Lord has many names, but the I am. So that means, the implication is that the I am year now. I am sitting next to you in your pew. I am in your car when you rush home or have a Sunday drive. I am next to you at your washing machine. I am there even when you swear and you forgot my presence. I am the bread of life. I am the one who provides for the farmers, let the crop grow. I am the one that's within the line which processes the maize and the meal and the flour so that tonight you can have your tea and your Baxter's soup. I am. I am here. And I am present. And therefore, that is the name of the Lord. If you and I, and we had it in our confession prayer this morning, if we live Godless, then we'll struggle to tick off the commandment. If I live in such a manner that I don't respectfully and consciously live within the presence of the Lord now, then I can't dance. Therefore, I need to ask myself, where's the dancing floor? The dancing floor is here, right here, where I am, is present. And therefore, I can step forward and say, yes, I do struggle with the steps. Yes, it is difficult, but I'm willing. As you are the I Am, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I am also willing from my side to step up and dance within the situation, within the given scenario. And if I go back to the work of the Holy Spirit, it helps me to remember that the Holy Spirit inhabits us. And therefore, giving me space and the ability to inhabit different places on the dance floor of life. Creating new spaces which I can inhabit, whether it be the forgiveness of my sin and carrying on and trying to live a better life according to the will of God, or having the courage to go up to people and speak to them about the love of the Lord and the grace of the Lord. Or stand up in a difficult situation and say, no, but this is not the will of God. God wants us to live in a merciful and a loving world. And this morning, there's nothing new I said. Nothing new. It's all old things. But a reminder of who we are within. And it's a strange metaphor, this dancing, this ballroom, this kaleol of life with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you go home, even those of you that will be on the bus driver won't know it this morning except you. Maybe he would or she would. But the I Am is also sitting next to the driver of the bus. And the I Am will be with you, stepping up and stepping down. May you live within the presence of our Lord, the creator of you, of the heaven and the earth, and having the ability to create new spaces to live in. I'm going to do a short prayer for us, and then I want us to sing a hymn, but I'll get to that after the prayer. Lord, thank you that we may live in your presence. As I said earlier, sometimes we think it's our kingdom, it's our space. We own the place. We are nothing without you. You can say a word and we could disappear. And therefore we bring thanks to you. Thank you that you love us as we are. And that you, Jesus Christ, you are the mediator. You stand as a filter for our sins so that we would be renewed and restored in our lives. Thank you that with our inability, struggling to follow the steps of lives, you still guide us with your Spirit, whispering into our thoughts, into our hearts, where to go, what to do. And therefore, I also pray for every one of us that you will anew re-inhabit our hearts so that we will inhabit new spaces on the dance floor where you lead us to. We pray this in your name, as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a new hymn this morning. It's a hymn that we sung back in South Africa, but I think it's 3 years ago. It's not a South African hymn. It's a hymn from the Netherlands, but it's such a beautiful hymn with regards to the Trinity. And I know the choir, you've practiced it this morning. Maybe just sing the first verse, and then I'll do an intro after the first verse again, and then we sing it together. So it worked like that. There's three verses, then the refrain, then verse, where is the music page? Yes, just as it is. Three verses, and then the refrain, and the fourth verse, and then the refrain. But just when we sing it, it's not about singing just. It's a wonderful melody, but it's the words and the prayer.
Thank you.
Sure, you did well. Yeah. A beautiful song. If you want to, you can YouTube it on the name. I think Roy did put it on. Yes, it's at the end, that original title, Ich soll er sein. But what wonderful words. Yes, June. No. Let us pray. Lord, thank you very much that you know us by heart. You know everything of us, and that we may live in your presence. You know our sorrows, you know our worries, our challenges, but again, you know how to give us the goodness and the, yes, to strengthen us, to give us happy moments to look forward to. Thank you for being a congregation. Thank you for having family. Thank you for having friends with us that helps us on our way. You know, and we don't need to tell you, you know how to take care of us, how that things work in communities, societies, situations, and we thank you for that. Thank you for your word. So much wisdom within that. Thank you that you help us to understand it through the Spirit. And may we, metaphorically speaking, dance with you, following you and trusting you. We pray this in your name, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We can praise the Lord with our offering now. Thank you. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you bless us with everything we have and own in our lives, and therefore this is just a small token to resemble that we are thankful, and therefore we ask you to bless our offerings within your kingdom, where you know it should be used. We pray this in your name, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're reminded every week in our benediction that the Lord will go before us. And we come now to make our prayers for the activities of our church and congregation for the coming week. And we do it in that knowledge and that confidence that God goes before us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for reminding us this morning that whatever situation of life we find ourselves in, you are there. And we thank you that as we look forward to the activities of the week ahead, that you are in these activities too, and that you go before us. And so we pray for the various things that will happen this week. We pray for the work of the thrift shop. We pray for the Kirk session meeting on Tuesday evening, and ask that you will give your guidance and your wisdom in the decisions that are made, so that these decisions will be pleasing to you and in line with your plans for our future. We think of TOFM on Friday morning, and we thank you for that group, and we thank you for the opportunity to share faith with each other for those who meet. We pray for the party for Accelerate on Friday evening. We thank you for Tim. We thank you who brought him to be our worker with children. We thank you for the rapport he's building up with the group of kids who meet regularly every week. And we pray for their party on Friday evening and ask that that will be a happy time for them, a time of enjoyment together. And we bring forward to you as well the meeting of the group on Saturday morning in St. Margaret's Hall. And we ask for that children will come along to it, that there'll be sufficient helpers there to do all the work that has to be done. And we look forward to our special service next Sunday morning. We ask for all the preparations that have to be done for that. Be with those who are involved in these preparations. And we ask that together we might have a time of sharing, that we enjoy each other's company, and that we simply mark the value of these young folks who are moving on to different stages of life. And we thank you for the opportunity to remember all those who suffer through HIV and the opportunity to contribute to relieving their need. So we bring all these activities to you and ask that they would not just be things that we do. We ask, Father, that through what we do and in what we do, you will be making Jesus known and building your kingdom here in our community. And we ask it for his name's sake. Amen.
Thank you, Alistair. I know your pudding is burning today again. Sorry for that. The last hymn, Love Divine or Love Excelling, a wonderful hymn, which we also sing back home, and also about the love of God everywhere around us. Thank you very much, Evelyn.
Thank you.
Did you hear that last stance? Lost in your wonder, love in praise. Isn't it wonderful? May the Lord be with you, and know that the Lord will be before you to set your ways ahead, and that he will be at your back so that the onslaughts of evil will not catch up to you. He will be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms, be beneath you to pick you up the day if you might stumble or fall, be above you to bless you, and dwell within you with his Spirit, so that you may find grace and live by his grace. Thank you.